Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to Pilgrim Church. We're going to move into a time of teaching, I do want to remind you that you can give to support the church online through pilgrimchurch.ca/give, through PayPal, or you can mail check in old school into the church facility as well. But we thank you for your support during this time, that you are how we sustain what we're doing. There is no magic money tree in the backyard here at Pilgrim. So thank you again for your support. I also want to just remind you, Harry brought me a big case of toilet paper for the church, so when we do ever gather again, but perhaps we can raise funds for the church as well by auctioning off this toilet paper. I'm just kidding. But anyway, thank you ahead of time for that. So this morning, we want to dig into one more message, sort of centered around what's been happening with this crisis around the world, the pandemic with the coronavirus or COVID-19. And as I was thinking about what should I share this morning, really wrestling with what does it mean to be the church, sort of in that big picture sense, but then also in our particular context, what are some of the things that maybe we can lean into during this time? Sort of an image that came to my mind this week as I was praying and thinking about what to share is when your foot falls asleep, or you get pins and needles because maybe you've been laying on your side for too long and your arm starts to go numb, or you put your arm around your beloved and you realize that without proper pillow, you're going to lose that arm eventually because of the loose feeling in it. Or your foot, you've crossed your leg and your foot falls asleep. And I think about that temporary paralysis that happens and sort of the pins and needles sensation. And eventually you get up and you move to increase the blood flow or unpinch the nerve or whatever it is that's causing that sort of temporary paralysis in a member of your body, whether it's your arm or your hand or your leg, your foot. And that image sort of stuck with me in terms of the church during this time as we're wrestling with some of us in small churches where we're working on new life, some of us in mega churches and everything in between, that in some ways it feels like that pins and needles sensation, like we're experiencing some sort of momentary paralysis. The question is, what does it mean then to get up again, to unpinch the nerve, to have the blood flow increased again to those members that feel sort of pinched off and sort of disconnected during this time? So that image has been in my mind. And so this morning I want to talk about this idea of the church is not a building, but it's a body. In fact, in Scripture we see at least three major images for what the church is, and we want to explore that, and particularly one regarding this image of the church as sort of a living, physical, and spiritual body enmeshed together. Some key scriptures that I want to just give you this morning as we sort of move forward in this message come from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, a church that is new believers coming from all different sorts of backgrounds, and it was a very, very messy church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, he's talking about, and we'll read a little more, but that particular verse sort of summarizes what he begins to unpack in the rest of that chapter. And he's writing to this church, and he's writing to all of them, and he says this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Each one of you is a part of it. I want to give you one other passage, and then we'll pray and jump into the rest of the teaching. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this, "If Christ is in you," so if you've said yes to Christ and you've given allegiance to Christ, he comes and dwells in you by his Spirit. "Even though your body's subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness," right relationship with God. "And the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit that lives in you." And he says, "Therefore, we have an obligation not to live according to the broken parts of our body or the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit of God working within us as well." So hear that first one again. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it." Let's pray, and then we'll go a little deeper this morning. If you want to, pray with me. Join with me right now. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you for those that are willing to come here today and to serve, to provide a gathering point for our community of faith. I thank you for Harry Leong. I thank you for Fu and Maureen Tran. I thank you for Andres Perez. I thank you for my wife who's here as well, and those that are also not here but gathered on screen today, gathered in community, gathering in home church hangouts and video venues. Lord, continue to move in this place. And God, I'm a saint and sinner in process. I cannot change anyone's heart. On my best day, I can give a inspired speech, but ultimately, it's your Holy Spirit working through the worship and word and the decentered community that changes lives. So continue that work in our midst, even in this time of what seems like a bit of paralysis. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. So the big idea I want to explore just for a few moments with you today is caring for the church as it were a body. That before the church is ever a building or a social organization or a nonprofit, registered society, charity, and so forth, the church is a living thing. It is something more beautiful, and it's created and sustained by Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And so we are called to be Christ's body now until he comes again. And that's one of the scandalous claims of Christianity, that this creation is moving not just circularly, but it's moving towards a final destination of new creation, where the spiritual and heaven and earth, the Revelation, Book of Revelation says, heaven and earth become one. The Jerusalem, the city of God, and the city of humanity comes together and something new happens. Until that point, we are moving in this time. And the church is Christ's presence on the earth until that point happens. Let's talk a little bit about what does it mean to have a body. In the Christian view of what it means to be a person, you are a body and spirit, and some would say soul, enmeshed together. And these things aren't listed in Scripture to try to give us like three neat categories. Well, this is my body speaking, and this is my spirit, and this is my soul. But rather, they're meant to be understood in this holistic concept of that you are a complex being made up of various parts that are all enmeshed together and designed to work together. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus uses this very famous thing. He requotes from Judaism, from the Old Testament, and Scott McKnight refers to this as the Jesus creed of Christianity. And Jesus says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So you can kind of hear that three-part view of the human person. And he says, the first and greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And the second, super important during this time, of what does it mean to be the church in the world during pandemic and plague and crisis? The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. These words express different aspects of one person, that you are body, spirit, and soul enmeshed together. And we're to be understanding is like the wholeness of your personality, that you are more than just a flesh bag with a mind on top of it, that you are more than some sort of, you're not a disembodied spirit or a disembodied soul, but rather you are this unique being put together by the Creator's very design in the image and likeness of God. So these don't designate like separate parts so much of the human, but the whole person and how we function as well. And now, so during this time, the temptation would be to care only for our bodies as individuals, only as separate individuals versus persons who are known in community. And so the church as a living body has a physicality to it, which is you and me. The Spirit of God and Christ indwells in it through you and me together, and the sense of ongoing beyond us. And so all of these things work together also in the church. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 6, 19, Paul is writing to the Corinthians as they're wrestling with brokenness, and Christianity names certain things as brokenness. We often use the old school word sin, but really, if sin is funny to you, think of sin in terms of things that destroy the creatures of God, things that destroy creation, things that destroy good relationships, our attitudes, our hearts. Think of it that way when you hear the word sin from a Christian. So Paul's writing to this church, and he says this about their very bodies, their physicality and their spirit. And he says this, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God, and you are not your own? There's a lot going on in this passage, but he's telling us the body and the spirit, our spirit and the Holy Spirit, are meant to commune together, and that he uses it plural, bodies, that together there's something unique physically and spiritually in what the church is when we say yes to Christ and his spirit indwells in us. We are no longer to think of ourselves solely as isolated sort of blood family relations or clan or tribe or simply as discrete individuals, but we're to think of ourselves in that communal aspect. And so we lean into this super simple teaching today, basically that we need to understand the church is a body and we are called to care for that body as we would care for our own bodies. And I think during this time of social distancing and some people being in quarantine and all of these precautions which we embrace, science and scripture, we want all truth is God's truth. But we also need to lean into the truth that we are the living body of Christ and called to be in community with one another. And that may take different shapes during this time, but we cannot forget that the church has never first been about a building. In fact, I have some Anabaptist family background on one side of my family, and when they did build buildings, when they weren't being chased out and persecuted out of the continent of Europe, they would often put on the sign of the building, the meeting house of XYZ Church. In our case, if we had that kind of sign, we would say the meeting house of Pilgrim Church, even on the physical sign of a physical building to indicate that the actual physicality of the church is not the building, but it is the people in community. And now during this time, we wrestle with what does it mean to be in community, to be that church when we are decentered and scattered for health and safety reasons and to reduce infection of a infectious disease and plague. So let's talk a little more about the church and the body. Those of you that know me know that it's very difficult for me to speak just to a camera. Now, there's a few people in the room here because I became a Christian in a very responsive church where it was very lively in the congregation and people would say amen. And sometimes a few people would even jump up during the sermon and say something like hallelujah. So while I'm doing this to the camera, I'm struggling with that. And as an immigrant to Canada myself, I'm also learning sort of the chillness of West Coast Canada too. That is not a super normal response. It's more chill in our church when that happens. So you know, in this live streaming venue, I struggle with that. In John 4:24, Jesus, again, talking about this idea of the church is a body, not a building, and the church is body, spirit, enmeshed together, just like you are as an individual person. Jesus is speaking to a Samaritan woman who is outside of Jesus' ethnic group, and he's saying, and they're having all this back and forth, and she's got all kinds of stuff going on in her life. And they get to a point where she brings up to him and saying, well, our people say we need to worship on this mountain, where your people say we need to worship on the other mountain. And Jesus says to her something very important to understand, body and spirit. He says, the Father, meaning God Almighty, doesn't care eventually what mountain you worship on, but that you in your person, you in your physicality, worship God in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. And again, making this point that the location per se is not the main point, but rather the physicalness and the spirit that you bring to it when you gather and when you're alone and how you approach God. So God desires us to be present, to be fully present mentally, spiritually, and in body throughout our days. And the Christian church has done this at least once a day for an hour or two on Sundays since the resurrection of Jesus, that there's something forming about that that's different than all the other things that are trying to press you in. I like how Jamie Smith says, in our world, there are cultural liturgies. You're participating in worship. Whether or not you ever name it that, you are worshiping. The question is, as if you become a Christian, that you're recognizing that there's a deeper worship that can form you and provide peace and satisfaction to your person, your inner being, unlike any other of the cultural liturgies around us that are trying to press us into their mold. Okay, I'll go a little more this morning. Let's talk a little more about this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter writes, so his theme is throughout the New Testament is what I'm trying to emphasize with sharing this other verse here. He says this, as you come to Jesus, or to him, the living stone, so now he's using this physical imagery, but now giving it human traits, this living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. So get this imagery he's using here. There's three big images that we're wrestling with, and mainly the body, but this first one is a living building, that you are living stones, and you're not isolated, but you're built together into this living house, the church as a living building, not the bricks and mortar and the wood and the plaster and the paint and the carpet glue smell that we still have a little bit of here as we've been remodeling. That is not the church, but the people are the living building. And he says, you've been made a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then he quotes from the Old Testament, and he says, I see, I lay in a stone in Zion, a chosen precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him, meaning Jesus, will never be put to shame. So there's three images of the church that I want us to remember here. The church as a living building. There's another passage we'll read in a second about the church as the bride of Christ, corporately as this sort of bride of Jesus, and which is really abstract in our day and age, but we'll read the passage that talks about that. And then finally, as we've been leaning into this, the church as a body. And so this morning, let me read to you about the bride. And in Matthew 25, Jesus uses this image of referring to himself as the groom, waiting for the wedding ceremony, and this idea of him seeking out this bride. In Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 27, Paul talks about this idea of how Christ loved the church. And he says, husbands, love your wife as Christ's slave that loved the church and gave himself up for her. So this wrestling with what does it mean? Again, this idea of the bride, the church as the bride of Christ. And then in Revelation 7, the very end of the Bible, this idea is that when Jesus returns and the fullness of the new heavens and earth come, that the church is united with Christ as the bride is united with the groom. So this idea of the church being this close, intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So those are some of the images. We want to dig a little more into the body. I want to give you a quote from a theologian here, actually from a Bible dictionary, a great quote. It says this, the church as a body. The present corporeal, the fleshly, earthly manifestation of what Jesus did, the saving act of Christ, the church, is not just like a body, it is a body. But the special nature of this body, of the church, is that the being a body is affected or produced by Jesus himself. So let's just look a little more here this morning about the body. Just as we were saying about paralysis, how do we care for our bodies during this time? We're given all kinds of wisdom. All of my friends who are not medical professionals are now medical professionals on social media. All of my medical professional friends are all posting links to other medical professionals. We're having so much inundation about what we should do with our body to stay safe and to be wise during this time. It's pretty overwhelming. And to see seeing people's reactions across the spectrum and how do we respond during this time. Well, I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm not going to give you medical advice, but I am going to talk about general health things that I think most of us lean into and then apply it to what does it mean if the church is a body, not a building? So very quickly this morning, just a few things to talk about regarding how do we respond to this body image of the church? Well, I think first of all, it's showing up and doing our part. Just as if you were laying on your arm and you were losing feeling in that paralysis pins and needles moment, eventually you move. Eventually you decide, you know what? I like to have that arm. I'd like to have it back. I need to move and get circulation and the nerve unpinched again. Or your foot. Eventually you begin to move. And sometimes if it's your foot, you move slowly because if you get down on that foot too soon, you might just end up flat on the floor and have bigger issues, right? So there's this time of showing up in our body and being attentive to what's happening within our bodies. I think this is true of the church as well. We need to be careful during this time that we don't just simply give up, that we need to understand that we are called to be the living body of Christ. And I was reminded of this looking at different legislation and things in both the States and in Canada, that during this time, the church has a role not only to care and to love and to call and to engage in video chats and all of that, but also to remember we're a prophetic witnessing community, that there is another game afoot, that there is a God who makes claims on all of creation. And while he doesn't coerce us, he calls us to be a voice, even a prophetic voice. And during this time, we need to remember as the church, our Lord is Jesus Christ first, and all other loyalties are second. And we need to remember that we call the rulers and authorities, do not overreach power, do not reach too far, do not try to manipulate this crisis for more concentration of power that breaks down the freedom and the autonomy and the blessed and the godness that each individual has and unique communities have as well. I think of Walter Brueggemann during this time, a very prophetic voice, and he talks about the state is always trying to make these totalizing claims on people, these ultimate claims. Well, we want states to do their job, and we want all truth to flourish, we as a church also have a role in saying, remember that the Lord of all is not in Ottawa. The Lord of all is not in Washington, D.C. The Lord of all is not in Beijing. The Lord of all is ruling and reigning from power underneath through his Spirit of his Son until he comes again and calls all to account. The church has a prophetic voice. Let us not forget that, especially in times when politicians and actors want to grab power and overreach beyond helping to manipulating. So let's be aware of that. There's my dark warning in that. So this morning, remember to show up, to be engaged. The church life matters. Your voice matters. Your voice probably matters more than ever. It always mattered, but we're reminded of this during this time, that maybe we do need to shake off that initial paralysis of fear and worry. As Paul says to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let me talk quickly about a few other things. I know you're still with me. I'm trying to shorten it up. I'm working on it. I'm sure the team here will hassle me afterwards for not shorting it up enough, so I'm prepared for that. But you can email and text me and call me this week and let me know what you think too. But let me remind you of a few other things for care for the body. Rest. Rest. Oh, beloved, rest. I think for us as a church body, we talk about rest in a couple different ways. We talk about rest in terms of learning that site of prayer that's more contemplative, that site of prayer where we put our phone in the refrigerator so it doesn't distract us and we spend some moments in solitude just listening. That's so important, I think, as individuals and as a body. We practice silence in our corporate worship at Pilgrim in part to model in just a little snapshot of what we need to practice in our daily lives, disconnecting from all the noise, all the distractions, pushing through that cloud or that fog and just being still and say, God, speak to me in silence. I think that's important for the body as individuals and corporately. I think learning prayers at this time to up your prayer life. Serenity prayer says this, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. That's a great prayer. Just Google the Serenity prayer. It's a marvelous prayer, and it also speaks peace and rest into our minds and our bodies. I think rest also, we know bodies need rest, that rest is also about just sleep. You may need to take a nap. But during this time, keep in mind also with isolation and social distancing that perhaps we need to look at rest not just in terms of sleep, but also in terms of being intentional and being present to the moment, being more present instead of paralyzed. Just a few others quickly here. Let's talk about work and serve. With our bodies, we're created to work and to serve, to be active as well, not just rest, but also active, the active life. The basic elements of the church as the body of Christ includes this physicality and spirituality. We are called to engage in the work. And for church, part of our work is to worship, to choose to worship in a pattern, to choose to engage with the greater claim on all of creation, to choose to lift up the name of Jesus. And we do that and we push into that. And sometimes that's initially a work we do, but we also serve others as well. We ask, how can we serve each other during this time? How can we engage with our bodies and our minds, our spirits, our physicality, all that we are, to not only work, but also serve, not only work for our own benefit or the benefit of our particular family, but also for the larger community? How do we serve as well? Yes, we're being told right now not to gather physically if possible. I think the limit in Canada is still like 50 people or less. And then if you're going to do anything, make sure you're social distanced. Here, the lovely city of Vancouver will fine you $1,000 if you're an individual out breaking these rules of social distancing. So we want to honor that as well. And so what does it mean also to work and serve together during this time? There are many things that our home churches are thinking through and wrestling with, but that's a place where we're saying, how can we serve in those smaller units? How can we make a difference in our neighborhoods with our friends, our neighbors, people that are far from us as well? Let me just tell you a little bit from the Christian history. There was a plague early on in the second century, this plague named after one of the bishops, in fact, because Christians served so much during this plague. It's now known as the Plague of Cyprian. And during this time, the church modeled service. And some even risked their lives and engaged with this act of love, where other people would not touch other people at all, the church would engage. Now, not everyone's called to do that. Martin Luther, during the European plague, said some will have faith to do these things, others need to draw back. But we wrestle with this. What does it mean to engage and serve during this time? The church has always had more of an open posture cautiously open, but yet open, and some have been called to extraordinary risk for the sake of the kingdom. Maybe we have to wrestle with our own history and learn, how does the church respond during times of plague and disease? All right, I'm almost to the end, and everyone said amen. So we had to work and serve. We need to rest. We also need to do two other things. We need to eat, and we need to play. We need to eat, and we need to play. I like how David Fitch in his work talks about this idea of faithful presence. And I think really when we talk about being the body of the church in times of crisis, faithful presence, being present to God, to one another, to others, in all the ways that we can, that make sense, that honor the health regulations, all of those things, is more important than being paralyzed or temporarily paralyzed, like pins and needles. I think there really is a choice before us between paralysis and faithful presence in this time. We need to eat. Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted by the enemy, by the power of evil, by the devil, the accuser. And Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, Matthew 4, verse 1, tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, of course. So the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You have to eat bread, well, maybe not bread, if you're gluten, you know, have to be gluten-free, but or gluten-free bread, whatever. You have to eat. You have to sustain your physical body. And it's good to have times of fasting and also exercise, which is a form, I think, of work and or play. But there's this sustenance that you need. There's a part of you that your heart has to be fed that can only be fed by the words of Christ. That is a scandalous claim. And yet I challenge you to wrestle with Scripture during this time, to develop new patterns of reading the Bible, to feed that inner part of you as you're thinking about existence, as material things might be slipping slowly from our grasp, as all the other things that want to claim our identity, the stuff and resources and even education's being ground to a halt, all of these things that claim our identity, I invite you to feed the inner part of the body and know that the church also needs to meditate as a whole on the Scriptures and to hear the words of Christ in Scripture. I think eating also means things for the body, the spirit, and the mind, good writing and good listening. Listening to preaching and teaching, that's great. I am sort of a middling preacher working my way up bit by bit. Sometimes it's three steps forward, two steps backwards. There's many, many resources. I love listening to the Meeting House in Toronto, Bruxy Cavey and Greg Boyd and T.D. Jakes. And, you know, I listen to some Francis Chan here and there. So there's so many resources out there. I encourage you to feed yourself. Of course, tune into Pilgrim. Get the messiest sermon you'll ever hear each week from yours truly, but also look at some of these other things out there and lean into some of this during this time. And then finally, I say this as a body, we're called to play. Part of the Sabbath practices within Old Testament and in New Testament, but not as a law in the New Testament, are resting, delighting, worshiping, and play. By the way, I see play is also connected with worship. In common grace, it's good to play games. It's good to get out, not just on your screen, because we all have way too much screen time right now. We all need a timeout. I'm saying this to my children and myself. We all need to take breaks, but also play those board games. Dust them off. Play in your yard. Find ways to engage your body and your mind and to get caught up into play. That's sort of common grace. We're not going into stadiums right now. We're not going to concerts and shows, but we can be caught up into play in these other ways of common grace. The body needs that. The church also calls you to be caught up. John in Revelation says this, I was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then he relays Revelation, poetic, apocalyptic, all kinds of things. And Book of Revelation is mainly about being caught up in many of the scenes are worship and anti-worship, faithful presence and paralysis in the sight of evil. So I want to invite you to develop that play side. You need play as much as you need work and rest. To be caught up, and worship is one aspect of that as well. Let's be careful during this time, though, that we don't confuse entertainment with active play. You see, you can be tempted again, paralysis, pins and needles, to sort of lay on your side and mindlessly watch Netflix and mindlessly consume and be entertained where you're not engaging at a very deep level at all. It's mostly passive. Play is active. The difference between listening to a song passively versus letting your emotions, your heart, and maybe even your body, if you move a little bit into that song, is totally different. If you're watching something where you get caught up into it, or you, and better yet, engage your body in it, it's transformative and empowering for you. That's why game is different than being in the stands watching the thing versus being a player on the field. Be a player on the field during this time. Find ways to engage with that. All right, now I'm truly am landing it. I can hear your amens through the screen, even though that's impossible. So what do we need to change? We need to change right now how we gather. We're doing things like this. We are stumbling forward together along with many, many, many other local churches across the globe. We are wrestling into this, that our gathering will change, but we need to find ways to gather, to be the body, and not simply say, oh, I'm not going to because I'm not in a building. I need your help. Help some of our older folks. Call them. Some of them that can't, don't have computer, or show them on the phone how to dial in. We're going to do a Google Hangouts here 5 minutes after, not even 5 minutes after the service here today. Lean in to taking risks that are appropriate and kingdom risks. We are to be the visible body of Christ until he comes again. You are and we are Jesus until he comes again. The church is his body. And when he comes again, then we switch and become his bride fully. But right now, we are his body on earth. And so we need to remember that. It's not about the building. What are some other practical steps? Do some prayer lists for people that you know, Christian or not Christian. Pray for people. Lift them up. And maybe take a risk. Call somebody that you haven't talked to in a long time. Send out, we have little flyers that you can print out and leave on an elderly neighbor's mailbox saying if they need help, someone getting groceries, maybe do that. Offer your assistance. I know I've called people this week and said, hey, can I go out and do a grocery run for you? Can I, people that are shut in or quarantined or told to stay home because of age or health conditions, let us all do that. Let us learn from the plague of Cyprian and during Martin Luther's time how we can serve. And again, of course, participate in video hangouts and live stream. And during this time, give of your resources. If you're still employed, give. Show generosity. Don't be controlled by anxious scarcity, but by God's superabundance with your time and your talent and your treasure during this time. So I land this by simply saying, as we end this series on the Pantocrator, the ruler over all Jesus, and the pandemic, I want to just lend on the note of hope and encouragement that we are the body. And we are told that Jesus is building his church in the scriptures, and the gates of hell, whether it's through plague, sickness, disease, governmental persecution, however it may come, the gates of hell, our own numbness, our own sinfulness, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church because he is faithful and building his church, and he will bring what he does to completion. So be a part of that during this time. Embrace that embodiedness. Don't let paralysis of the moment become permanent in your life. Let me pray for you this morning. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And that what the enemy intends for evil, you can work good out of it. We thank you that you also name sickness and disease as broken, and this an enemy has done. That even when creation was rebelling and going over the top, you went out and you said to the storm, you rebuked the storm. The storm was not doing your will, and you said, peace, be still. And so God, speak that peace into our hearts. And may we as a community of faith at Pilgrim and all those who are being called and are curious about Jesus, look at your life and teachings, and may we feed the corporate body of the church during this time, not just our individual bodies, but that we are known as persons in community. Do you not know that you all are temples of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You are bought with price. May we hear those words of Paul. May we hear those words of Paul in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, that we are members of a body and that our members need to work together in order for the body to flourish. All members matter. God, may we have that sense of purpose that goes beyond just what we're told in our cultural liturgies of our work, our education, or our kinship ties, but that there's a new humanity you're working in the church through the Spirit of Jesus. Even when we can't gather in our buildings, we are still being a body held to you together by the Spirit. Call us again, renew us in that. Lord, encourage us in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining with us this morning. I want to remind you that there will be a Google Hangouts. There is a link on our YouTube page. If you're a Pilgrim member, you're getting the emails and you're getting texts from the church. If you're not part of Pilgrim and you want to track with us, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. And you can also email us off of our website and get our weekly updates as well and other things that are happening here at Pilgrim Church. Get in a home church if you're not. They've been meeting, most of them, either on Google Hangouts or Zoom, other video ways of communicating. We encourage you to dig into that as well. So thank you for being part of Pilgrim. Thank you for supporting the church. Thank you for being the body of Christ during this time. God bless. See you soon.